Chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That is where we are starting off. We are continuing this morning from where we finished off last week. Philippians 3, verse 10. Last week we were talking about Paul telling the people of Philippi, saying he no longer counts on his own righteousness. He was now counting on the righteousness of Jesus. Righteousness that was given to him by faith. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. That I may know him. This was Paul telling the people of Philippi that the reason why I'm saying all of these things is for one agenda. It was for him to know Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter, living in the extraordinary. Amen. All right? Living in the extraordinary. It is possible for you and I to live in the extraordinary. And Paul was giving the people of Philippi, the church of Philippi, what they can do to live an extraordinary life. Glory be to God. Let me say from the onset, you are destined to live an exciting life. You are destined to live a glorious life. You know, I've got on my email, on my Gmail, my signature says, do not live your life as an explanation, but live your life as an exclamation. Yeah. Don't live your life as an explanation where you have to always explain yourself. Rather, live your life as an exclamation where everybody says, wow, look at that. What's going on in that family? What's going on in that life? They look at your life and they're attracted to what you have. Glory be to God. Amen. And that is what God designed your life to be. You see, I don't believe a Christian should live an ordinary life because you don't belong to an ordinary God. Your God is different from Hare Krishna. Come on now. Your God is different from Allah. Your God is different from Buddha and all of these other gods. We serve an extraordinary God. Hallelujah. Amen. The maker of the heavens and the earth. You see, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary, do you want to know what's the difference? The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that small word called extra. Yeah. Yes? Right. Let's do a trick for that one. Yeah. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that small word called extra. Yeah. It changes your life from being ordinary to being so special. Glory be to God. Yeah. You see, when you buy a vehicle, you can look at BMW X3s lined up there. Okay? They all look the same. Until you get to the one that has extras. You know what I'm talking about? Chrome wheels. The spoiler at the back. Maybe 18-inch wheels. And the comfort in the car. All of a sudden, it's no longer just in the category of X3s. There is something added to that vehicle. It makes it so special. And you'd find that when you insure your vehicle, they even say, insure the extras in that vehicle. Now, when you order pizza, ordinary pizzas, and there are extras on it. That's what distinguishes an ordinary pizza with another level. Okay, so this morning I want you to realize there are extras that you apply in your life that changes everything about your life. Kayam Tetua sang a song titled Settle for Less. Okay, it's titled Settle for Less, but the message of the song is don't settle for less. There must be more in God. So he was challenging the body of Christ to dig deeper into the heart of the Father. Until you mine everything that is meant for you. Glory be to God. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for those that love him. But these things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. Paul goes on to say there are deep things in God. And those deep things in God can only be searched by the Spirit of God. Amen. Paul says the Spirit of God digs into the Spirit of God and he unearths things for you and he brings them to you. Glory be to God. Amen. And so this morning, saints, don't settle for less. Right. It's possible to live an extraordinary life. Amen. Now let's look at a few extras that Paul brought to the church at Philippi. Extra number one, you've got to pursue intimacy with Christ. Amen. I've been married now 15 years, going 16. The question is, am I still pursuing my wife for greater dimensions of intimacy? Is she still pursuing me to unearth the treasure that is in me that is meant for her? What I've realized is that the more you get into the Lord, you grow in Jesus, you tend to relax. You tend to fold back. You tend to say, I've heard that scripture before. I've been to conferences before. And that is how we get to miss the move of God, because we always say, we've done it. We've bought the t-shirt. We've owned it. What's more to get from this? I've heard this pastor preaching. I run for 6 years. What more can I hear from this man? I want deeper revelation. This morning, I want you to realize the moment we are like children. You see, every time I walk through my door without failure, my kids run to me and they hug me. Sometimes they have to back off to give their mother the opportunity first. You see, I always come with love. Sometimes I come with gifts, but I'll always come with love. When you are like that with God, you always receive from God the Father. Because whenever you come before God, there's always love for you. Glory be to God. So this extra code, being in the pursuit of intimacy with Christ, will change your walk with the Lord. You see, in a relationship, there are levels of closeness. Someone can be your colleague. Another can be your acquaintance. Another can be a friend. Another can be your bestie, your best friend. And further still, one can be your spouse. These are degrees of closeness. You know, when you look at how the tabernacle was built, there was an outer court. There was an inner court. There was a holy place. There was a holy of holies. The place where only the high priest could go. A place where he would go once a year and he would bring the sacrifice of atonement with the blood in his hands. There are degrees of closeness. And I want to ask you a question. When it comes to your closeness to Jesus, are you on the outer court, where you know about Jesus, but you don't know him? There's a difference. You can know about me, but you can also know me. All of you know about me, but she knows me. Come on now. There's a level of intimacy that she alone can attain to, because she's my wife. The same thing applies to our walk with Jesus. You can have a hearsay knowledge, third-part knowledge of Jesus, where you say, I know about Jesus, I've heard about him, but he is saying, get closer and know me at a deeper level. Amen. And on this Victory Sunday, instead of crying for money and all of those things, they are great and awesome, how about saying, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, teach me how to connect with you at a deeper level. Lord, my prayer life has been waning. Lord, I've not been able to hear your voice as clear as I used to. Lord, I used to be so fixated with reaching souls, but lately it has become a burden. Paul says that I might know him. You see, each type of relationship determines the degree to which you know someone. And the degree to which you know someone determines what demands you can place on that person. There are certain demands that my wife alone can make just because she is mine. There are certain demands that my kids alone can make just because they are my kids. And this morning I want you to realize when you get so close to Jesus, there are certain demands you can start placing because of the intimacy. Glory be to God. The closer you get to Jesus, the more comfortable, come on, hear me, the more comfortable you're able to place more demand on His promises. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed. It's not about hearsay. I know Him. He appeared to me last night and He spoke to me. Not through a prophet, but I heard the Lord impressing it on my spirit man. Moses was so close with God that he was able to negotiate certain things with God. He was able to place a certain demand on God. Abraham knew God, that he was able to negotiate with God from a number 50 all the way to 10 when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, when you know about me, you think twice to WhatsApp me at 10 p.m. Oh, yeah. But guess what? When I see Pastor Paul's number at 10 a.m., I will pick that number. I will pick that call because of the proximity, because of the relationship. This morning, saints, you've got to move into the inner place with God. You've got to say, into me, see, I want to know you at another level, Lord. You see, when you get to that place, the Lord has your heart. You have His heart. When your heart is knitted with God's heart, some things that used to be difficult to do, they will no longer be difficult for you. Why? Because you carry the heart of God. You carry the heart of Jesus wherever you go. You see, Paul had known God. Paul had experiences with God. This is the man who was caught in the third heavens. Come on now. This is the man who was shown what he was not allowed to share with men. This was the man who raised people from the dead. At this time, when he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he was incarcerated. He was in prison. And he writes and he says, that I might know him. Paul, what is there to know more about Jesus? Paul said to himself, I have seen God, but I haven't exhausted Him. I have heard God, but I haven't exhausted what He wants to speak to me. And therefore he says, I want to know Him, that I may know Him. You see, our knowledge of Jesus is imperfect. Our knowledge of Jesus is in part. If you come to a place where you feel you've known all, maybe that's a place to start, to say, Lord, show me your glory. How passionate are you about knowing Jesus Christ? How much time do you spend in the presence of Jesus? I was giving a talk last week, and the guy interviewing me saying, how does somebody get to hear the voice of God? How does somebody distinguish the voice of the enemy from the voice of God? How does somebody distinguish his own thoughts from the voice of God? And I say to him, you know, the truth of the matter is the whole issue of hearing the voice of God is not a science. There are no ABCs. It's a relationship. The closer you get to somebody, the easier it becomes to hear when they speak. The closer you're in Jesus, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more He impresses things on your spirit man, the easier it becomes to distinguish your thoughts from His thoughts. Amen. The Bible says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Glory be to God. When we get into Jesus, we spend more time with Him. Instead of just 5 minutes, we go into 10, 15, 30, 1 hour, 2 hours in the presence of Jesus. You are able to identify His voice in the middle of the hustle and the bustle of the city. But today, we have a microwave generation that says, instead of hearing God for myself, I go to Papa down the road. Papa will tell you when you were born. Papa will tell you who you're going to get married to. Papa will tell you how you're going to make money tomorrow. But that is not how God designed life. He says, my sheep hears my voice. When we are into Jesus, we get tuned into the voice of Jehovah. We are able to hear when He speaks. Amen. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me. That word seek, it is searching with great intent. You are concentrating and paying attention to what you're doing. It's as if you're looking for something hidden and you're saying, where is this thing? Where is this thing? I'm not going to stop until I find it. I'm not going to stop until I hear His voice. Come on now. I'm not going to stop until I've got some peace in my heart. I'm not going to stop until I know what's on His heart. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Saints, does He have all your heart? Does He have the whole of your attention? Or He has part of it? When you seek Him with all your heart, He will move. You see, God is not in the business of playing hide and seek with us. You know hide and seek? The kids run around and they hide behind sofas and behind curtains. Come find me. That's not how God treats us. He says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. When you want intimacy with Jesus, He will not deny you of the opportunity to see Him. Daniel 11 verse 32. The last portion says, I don't know what this billboard is doing in front here, but, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he pervert by flatteries. Talking about the man of sin. How he will flatter people who jump around the covenant. But the Bible says, but the people that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. But the people that know their God. So when you seek God and you know God, when the winds and the storms of life come, you'll stand. You'll be strong because you know in whom you have believed. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, you're anchored. You are steadfast. I will not be shaken. Though the whole world will shake. Right now, everybody is saying, are we at the verge of another nuclear war? Are we at the verge of the third world war? What are we on the verge on? What's going on in your heart? Whatever happens, happens. We are anchored in Christ. Glory be to God. This time the church should not be worried, Lord. We should actually be preaching the gospel. Amen. So that many people can enter into the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Jeremiah 9 verse 24. But let him who boasts, boast in this. That one, he understands and knows me. You can boast. But he is saying, this is the primary area where you can walk with satisfaction. That I know God. I know He will come through for me. I know He is able. I know He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Why? Because I know Him. So He says here, let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. It means God can be known, saints. It means that God can be known by us. What he allows us to know, we will know. Glory be to God. Amen. That I am the Lord who does what? Who exercises loving devotion, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. You will not be shaken. You know the Lord, that he's got such devotion to justice. And when injustice happened to you, you will not be moved. For I know in whom I have believed. Glory be to God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Peter says, therefore, beloved, since you already know these things, be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure standing. But do what? Thank you very much. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You see, error is floating around in the air. False doctrine is floating around. The Bible says even the elite will be deceived. Even the elite, even some of us here who've been in the Lord for a long time, if we do not pay attention to remain standing in our secure place, we'll be shaken. Amen. And now Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you been growing? Have you been growing in your intimacy with the Lord? Are you better this year than you were last year in your walk with God? Are you better in your comprehension of scriptures this year than you were in 1995? If not, this morning, it's a place for us to cry out to the Lord for a new heart. Pray today that the Lord would come and do heart surgery and change something in your heart. Where you have grown cold, let the Spirit of Jesus bring life again. That is extra number one. Extra number two. You've got to come to a place where you desire to experience resurrection power. Resurrection power. Paul says, that I might know him, that I might know him, secondly, and the power of his resurrection. You see, it is beyond man's comprehension to understand the influence that the resurrection of Christ has on humanity. Jesus, okay, this is very important. Everybody died. Everybody who started all of these religions died. And guess what? Jesus also died. The difference between Muhammad and Jesus is the fact that if you go to a Muhammad's grave, his bones are there. If you go to the tomb of Jesus, his bones are not there. This is what we're talking about, the resurrection power of Jesus. What Jesus did by coming back to life distinguished him from any other great leader. It doesn't matter what you can say regarding that leader. The fact that they did not rise from the dead, it puts them under Jesus. Glory be to God. And now Paul says, I want to know Jesus, but also I want to know the power of his resurrection. You see, what the resurrection of Christ made available for us must be desired and pursued. When Jesus came back to life, he enabled my justification to be a reality. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead means that my sins were atoned for. Means that I can approach the throne room of God without worrying about having to die in order to present my blood before God. The Bible says he presented his blood in the tabernacle that was not made by human hands. The one in heaven. His blood was accepted. That is why Jesus rose from the dead. And you and I need to pursue what Jesus got for us when he rose on the third day. Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ gives us access to the mercy of God. The resurrection of Jesus gives us access to the very Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. The presence of God can be found in my life. During lockdown, I taught a series on glory dispensers. When you understand what Jesus did for you when he rose from the dead, you know that he wants to inhabit you. He wants to indwell you so that you can carry Jesus. You know you are a carrier of Jesus. When you go to work, you carry Jesus with you. That is why we are called the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ, where are the legs of this body? If we are the body of Christ, where is the mouth of this body? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. You are a glory dispenser. Thank God for COVID. We now understand what a dispenser is. Whenever you walk through into a shop, there's a dispenser there that dispenses sanitizer. And this morning, you are that. I want you to picture yourself as that dispenser that releases the glory of God, that releases the anointing in your environment. You are the guy who sanitizes the environment. Hallelujah. When you enter a work that is toxic, because of you, you sanitize. You bring about life. Somebody need to pray this morning that I might know the power of his resurrection. Let me read this scripture. Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. Let me just stop there. What sin are you struggling with today? Come on now. I've got issues I'm struggling with. And I want to ask you this morning, what has chained you? What type of a prison are you in today? What, is it a lack of control, self-control? Is it a lack of forgiveness? Is it the inability to say no to certain relationships and certain things in your life? The Bible says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot identify with our weakness. He was tested, he was tempted, yet without sin. Which means there is nothing that you can bring before him that can shock him. There's absolutely no issue in your life right now. It doesn't matter how big it is. I'm not minimizing it. But I'm saying when you put Jesus Christ in line with your issue, he is able. Come on now. He is able to set you free. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has broken the chains of bondage. Today, somebody can pray and name your mountain, name your chain, and say, my high priest understands and he's able. Amen. And the Bible says, yet he was without sin, which means he overcame every single temptation that came his way. Amen. He overcame every sin that was thrown before him. Yet without sin. In other words, you and I today, we can bring our sinful state before him. We can bring our weaknesses and he's able to give you victory. Verse 16 says, let us then, with that understanding, let us then approach the throne of grace. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. Confidence that doesn't come from what you can do, what you can do. Confidence that comes from Him who overcame all sin. Let us therefore approach the throne room of grace so that we can obtain what? Mercy. 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 Justice says he has to die. Justice says there's no second chance. But mercy says second chance. Third chance. Fourth chance. Fifth chance. Sixth chance. So your father can give up on you, but mercy says, 10th time. Amen. Your pastor can say, I can't have you no more, but mercy says, 16th chance. Amen. Your community can say no to you, but mercy says, 25th chance. Amen. Come on now. The Bible says, so that we can receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help. Yes. In a time of need. When you approach the throne room of grace with confidence, you might have given up on yourself, but mercy will tell you, no, it's not time to give up. For the journey is still long. There is much more to be done in you and through you. Glory be to God. Amen. This morning, somebody needs to understand that you are so valuable in the eyes of God. You are not a mistake. There's a destiny and a purpose over your life that the enemy has been fighting ever since you were born. And today we are saying mercy says no. Amen. There's no human being that is here by chance. Your life might not look like it right now. I believe the Lord is speaking to somebody right now. Your life might not look like it right now. But when you were born, the same word that was spoken to Jeremiah, where God says, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Those same words ring true for you and for me. That is why, saints, we don't have a right to give up on people. Because heaven doesn't give up on people. This is an extra for you. The last extra. Then we're going to pray. So Paul says, that I might know him. I want to know Jesus. And the power of his resurrection. And then he says, and the fellowship of his suffering. So Paul is saying, I'm not just a taker. I'm a giver. I give of myself. I want to partake in the sufferings of Jesus. So extra number three is be willing to suffer alongside your Lord. For a lot of believers, Christ is awesome as long as there's no pain attached to walking with Him. I wish it was so. But the moment you open up your heart to Jesus, you became like Him. He took His cross, carried the cross up the mountain of Golgotha, and He was nailed onto the cross. When Jesus said to His disciples, if anybody is to follow me, let him take his cross daily. When you carry the cross, I say to you, it's a matter of time before you are impaled on it. Oh yes. You don't just carry a cross. It's a matter of time before there's a demand over your life. See, the Lord is so good. He woos us in. He draws us into Him. We fall in love with Him. And then He places a demand. What are you going to do? And Paul says, Not only do I want to know him, not only do I want to see the power of his resurrection, but I want to suffer with this Lord of mine. I want to be identified with him in his suffering. I don't want to be just a taker. Lord, where you want me to go, I will go. Lord, where you go, I will go. Lord, what you say, I will say. The song you sing, I will sing. Glory be to God. And the fellowship of his suffering. And I want to believe God that the Lord is raising a generation of believers who understand the fellowship of his suffering. Peter spoke to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, we've left everything for you. Jesus, we left our homes. We're pursuing you. We're running after you. Jesus, we have forsaken the joys of this world. What is there for us? I mean, it's amazing, right? We don't do things always to get something out of it. It's not always that you're going to get something out of what you do. But the Lord Jesus knows humanity. He did not rebuke Peter. He said, Peter, what's wrong with you? No. He said to Peter, you know what, Peter? You are so right. There is something in it for you. You, Peter, and everybody else who follows me, you shall experience 100-fold of my goodness here on earth and up in heaven. But also 100-fold of persecution. Oh, Lord, I wish you just stop there and say 100-fold of houses. Because Peter was saying, we've left mothers and sisters. And the Lord said, no, you will regain all of those people. Don't worry about it. But alongside it, there's a road called the cross. Amen. Can I say this to somebody this morning? Before the crown of glory, there is a crown of thorns. Hello? Can I be honest with you? If I had an option, I would quit being a pastor. I would hang my boys, my boots, and relocate. I would relocate to New Zealand. Honestly, I'm qualified to go anywhere in the world where I want. They would knock me up immediately like that. I would go. You'd hear the guy is gone with his family. Without a doubt. But you know what? The Lord Jesus told Peter, he says, when you were young, you used to choose where you would go. But when you are older, somebody would lead you. Saints, when you get older in the things of God, you might not have a choice to say, that I can do, that I can't do. I like being honest with people. I will not beat around the bush. I would quit being a pastor. But you know what? The Lord Jesus did not quit on me. The Lord Jesus carried his cross all the way to Golgotha. And he said, it is finished. I want to be in that day before the Father. And he says to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. And the fellowship of his suffering. And the fellowship of his suffering. What are you prepared to do for your Lord? What are you prepared to do for the Lord? Is the Lord telling you to go to Ukraine? And go and minister to the refugees alongside the Poland border? Is the Lord calling you to go to Mozambique, Maputo? Yeah. Is the Lord calling you to go up Soshanguve, Karankua, and plant a church there and minister to the people of God who are so precious? Or you feel the Lord is only calling us to plant churches in Pretoria East, in Lani places? Right. I wish it was easier in Lani places. Yeah, the same battles, same fights. But what is the Lord saying to you today? What is he asking you to lay down? Yeah. Where is the God who used to call people from their countries into foreign places to go preach the gospel. I'm sorry, are we raising Bazalwanian Christians who don't have backbone for their Lord? Where we say, it's okay as long as there's no demand on me. Some of you, the Lord is saying to you, put that thing down for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. Stop that habit for the sake of what I've called you to do. Right. Okay, to somebody else it's acceptable, but for what I have called you to do, you're not going to do that. Amen. Are you going to say yes? Or are you going to say, but God, Michael is doing it. Betty is doing it. Bunny is doing it. No, no, no. Let every man run his race. And you can see how we're going to pray today. We're going to start off there and say, Lord, that I might know you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I want you to prepare your heart right now and just say, Lord, speak to me today. I want to know what needs to change in my life, Lord. Lord.